We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Thursday to you, Brevard County. This is Bob Arthurs, and we welcome you to the Refresh radio broadcast. We want to thank you for tuning in. And if you listened yesterday and you tuned back in again, thank you. We are talking in the month of March here about God building us up. And yesterday we started talking a little bit about that he's got to do that foundational work in us, that apart from God, we were in Romans chapter 7 and verse number 18. It says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells." Paul writes in verse 24, "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" The answer is in verse 25, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." So we want to give a shout out today to one of the businesses that is represented in our church, and that is Jits Concrete, 536-5804, 536-5804. If you need any block or concrete work done, we encourage you to call them, and they will come out. They can give you an estimate, and they do very, very good work, and I encourage you to reach out to them. So upon that yesterday, we started this journey. You know, I started on Monday about how God desires to build us up. And then in Jude chapter 20, verse 21, about building us up in our most holy faith. And 2 Corinthians 10:8, he gave us the authority to build up. And so, first of all, I need to ask you to come to the place where you recognize that your pastor, that me here on the radio, that I'm not here to do you harm. I'm here to do you good. I'm here to build you up. I'm thankful that God has a plan in place. He showed Moses the pattern of the tabernacle in heaven. He gave David all of the details of the temple that Solomon would later build. And God has just as intricate and detailed plans for you and I as he did for those two structures, both of which are no longer around. But you and I, we are to be the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so I'm dealing with these attributes. Let me read a few scriptures here for you today, and then we may get into a little bit of what happens with a person who has not had the foundational work that God has done. And then, by the way, I told on yesterday's broadcast about the man who built his house upon the rock, and also the man who did not build his house upon the rock. There's kind of an implication there that they both built the same type of house. They both went through the same type of storms. The only thing different was one had a foundation and the other did not have a foundation. And if you were to go to that passage of scripture in Matthew, you would find that the difference between the two houses and the foundation that they had, well, it's in Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 24. It says, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it fell, and great was its fall. The difference between the two houses was how they responded to the word of God. How they responded to the word of God. It says that both men heard, but only one applied. Only one put it into practice. Only one was stable enough and anchored to the immovable foundation that was the rock. And you and I, we need to be anchored. Our life needs to be founded upon the word. And if you are attending a church, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, I plead with you, please get into a Bible study. If you are attending Sunday morning worship, that is phenomenal, but discipleship generally does not take place in a mass meeting. You need to be in a Bible study. We have Sunday school at our church. We have grow groups at our church. We have a free video Bible school that meets on our campus on Tuesday nights at our church. And so we would love to have you come and grow in your faith. You need somebody who will walk with you and help you through this construction process. And that's what your pastor is for, and your Sunday school teacher or your youth leader. You need that. I'm thankful. I've got people in my life that are mentors to me, and they are speaking into my life. And, you know, I'm thinking back to a situation right now where our church has been going through a process for the last couple of years, and it got started off so very, very slowly, this process, that there were a number of people who not in our church, but there were a number of people who had signed up to begin the process, that because it wasn't going very quickly, that they abandoned the process. And when we are allowing God to deal with the foundation of our life, the progress may not be evident to people around us all that much right now, but it is progress nonetheless. And I just implore you, don't get impatient with God. Allow him to have his perfect work in you. Get into the word of God. Put that word into practice. Allow him to work in your innermost being. You know, 3 John 2 says, may you prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. The foundational work that takes place in our spirit and our soul actually prepares us for health and the soundness and the shalom presence of God that he would have for us that is going to be evident to all. But if we don't allow him to do that foundational work, we're not going to be able to reach very great heights. I watched a documentary the other day, and it was talking about that they built this structure, and once they built it, because there was an insufficient foundation, it literally started sinking right into the ground. It sank right into the ground. And I thought, wow, I wonder how many people that we see that are walking around and their exterior looks nice. They have a nice house. They have a nice car. They wear nice clothes. And from the outside, everything looks absolutely wonderful. But on the inside, they're miserable and they're broken. Their homes are broken. There's no peace. There's no joy. And instead of being the epitome of success, it's all a facade that is masking the brokenness of a life without a spiritual foundation upon Jesus Christ. I hope you still love me. I hope you still appreciate me. I'm trying to speak a transformative word here on this broadcast at this season that will build people up. And we have a tendency to think that it's only the drug addicts, only the alcoholics, only the sexually fractured that have foundational issues, but I believe that there are people in every church that have foundational flaws that God longs to deal with. And I pray that we will allow him to deal with those so that he can build us up. Let me get to some word here for you today, and we will talk about some of the characteristics of a sinkhole, or a life without a faulty foundation. Remember, we're not glorifying the sinkhole. We identified yesterday that apart from Christ, all of us are sinkholes, and every once in a while, when we get into the flesh, it reveals a sinkhole area in our life. And sinkholes are a reality in Florida. We've seen the danger. Actually, the property values around a sinkhole begin to drop because people begin to question whether or not those homes are built on a sinkhole. So we've got to deal with these foundational issues. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, it says, "Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind, for he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles." Remember, we talked about that the foundation is hearing and doing the word of God and having a relationship with Jesus. And so here are some descriptions of things of a life with a faulty foundation. When we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable and idolatries. In regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. They will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this reason, the gospel was preached also to those who are dead, that they might be judged according to the men in the flesh, but live according to the Spirit of God. So let's look at this faulty foundation. And one of the first things that it talks about is lewdness. And that's primarily referring to sexual relationships that are taking place that do not line up with the word of God. And right now there is just so much anarchy in the sexual realm that is going on. There's so much confusion that is going on. And there are a lot of people who are afraid to deal with it. And I just want you to know that there is a foundation that should be built that is going to make the sexual aspect of your life as a married man to a married woman, being married to one another, that makes that a healthy, holy part of relationship that is going to be something that is glorious. Right now, we have so much confusion. I have heard of people who have married themselves. Not to a spouse, they married themselves. They couldn't find somebody to be married to, so they married themselves. I've heard of three women being married. I've heard of three women being married. I've heard about a woman who married her two cats. Just so, you know, people wanting to be married to multiple people. I want you to understand that is indicative of a faulty foundation. It's not going to be built. You're not going to be able to build a substantial structure upon that. It's got a flawed foundation. It's got a flawed foundation. Lust. In fact, there's another. There is another verse. Let me see if I can find it here. I'm going to read it to you. Hopefully, I'm going to read it to you here from the New International Version, if I can find it. And I may not have that here with me. Let me just continue to touch pages. I don't see it right now. It's in Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 17. It says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles, walk in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness in their heart, or of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness. In the NIV, I believe it says, with an increasing desire for more. One of the aspects of a person who is operating from a faulty foundation and is beginning to cave in under the pressure of all of these issues is that there is just an insatiable desire to fill the void. A sinkhole, when it collapses in upon itself, is indiscriminate. It doesn't care what it fills that void with. There have been sinkholes that have destroyed roads. There are sinkholes that just swallowed up all the ground that was around them. There are sinkholes that destroyed or that have swallowed up people in the process. Actually, if you want to see the first example of that taking place, you could go to Numbers chapter 16, verses 23 through 34. It's the story of Korah and Dathan and Abiram and how they aspired to have something that somebody else, they had a foundation of covetousness, even though they had been given a prestigious place in ministry. They had a desire for themselves to be greater than what they had been called. And in verse number 25, it says, "Then Moses rose and went to Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And he spoke to the congregation, saying, 'Depart now from the tents of these wicked men. Touch nothing of theirs, lest you be consumed in all their sins.' So they got away from around the tents of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And Dathan and Abiram came out and stood at the door of their tents with their wives, their sons, and their children. And Moses said, 'By this you shall know that the Lord has sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them on my own will. If these men die naturally like all men, or if they are visited by the common fate of all men, then the Lord has not sent me. But if the Lord creates a new thing, and the earth opens its mouth and swallows them up with all that belongs to them, and they go down alive into the pit, then you will understand that these men have rejected the Lord.'" You've got to understand that. That's very key. "Now it came to pass, as he finished speaking all these words, that the ground split apart under them, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up with all their household goods, and all the men with Korah and with all their goods. So they and all those with them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed over them, and they perished from among the assembly. Then all Israel who were around them fled at their cry, for they said, 'Lest the earth swallow us up also.'" People who have a faulty foundation, they just start sucking people in to their mirrors. Now remember, please listen to me. We are coming at this from the premise that every one of us is a sinkhole in and of ourselves. And God's desire is to transform us from a sinkhole into a skyscraper or a testament of faith. By the way, one of the great testaments, I believe, about this situation is Korah ends up having descendants that end up ministering in the temple of the Lord. And so even though there was this horrible experience that God redeemed that family line and that family name, and they went on to have fruitful ministry whose work is still impacting us every time we read the Word of God today. About a year or two ago, there was a sinkhole that operated or that opened up underneath the Corvette Museum. I believe it was up in Kentucky, and it sucked in cars in Florida here a year or so ago. There was a man who was asleep in his bed. A sinkhole opened in his home and swallowed him alive. They never did find his body. And people who have an insufficient foundation, they do not have a word-based foundation, they just start sucking resources in. There's a story in my stack of notes here today from back in 1980 where a sinkhole opened up and swallowed an entire lake. The people went to bed one night and there was a lake there, and they woke up the next morning and there was all of the water was completely gone. It was a horrible natural disaster. And people who are who recognize that emptiness that they have in their life, they will try and fill that void with intellectual capabilities. They will try and fill it with jobs. They will try and fill it with other people, with all sorts of resources. And sadly, all of the things that they are taking in, none of it is sufficient to be a foundational material. Can you imagine that if you took a car in as your foundation and the weight of that? We've seen what happens to automobiles when they are in a car wreck, how they just get flattened almost to the level of a pancake. You can see trucks driving down the road and cars that have been flattened to about 12 to 18 inches high. It's just like, wow, at one point in time, that was a brand new vehicle. And now it's just fit to be recycled. You see, people who do not have Jesus, they are just trying to fill the void. They are just trying to fill the emptiness that they have in their life. And so today, I want you to know that if you're listening to this and you know what I'm talking about, that when I talk about that there is an emptiness on the inside of you, please understand that just like we talked about on yesterday's broadcast, that there is someone who is able to fill that void, and his name is Jesus. You see, a lot of times people, because of the urgency of the emptiness, they do not have any design for what is taking place. They are just trying to deal with the pain. They're just trying to deal with the hurt of the loneliness. And I just want to speak to you right now, because we've all been there. Jesus has a plan and a purpose for your life. Jesus is sufficient to fill the largest chasm in your life. I believe today, if you were to go, I believe the deepest place on earth is the Mariana Trench. And you might feel like right now that you are in that deepest place, that there's nobody who's ever been deeper. And I want you to know today that the arm of the Lord is sufficient to reach down, no matter how low you are, no matter how broken you may seem. He is able to fill in, but he's not just going to satisfy that emptiness with just anything. He wants to fill you with himself. You and I were meant to be the temple of the Holy Spirit. God's desire from the days that the children of Israel came out of Egypt till now is he's always desired to dwell in the midst of his people. And so if you're going through a storm today and you just feel the emptiness, I want you to know that he wants to fill that void, and he has a design for your life. It goes on and talks about in 1 Peter chapter 4 about drunkenness and revelries and drinking parties and idolatries. And like I said, in Ephesians chapter 4, the thing about it is that no matter how much sin you partake of, the lie of the enemy is if you do this, it's going to fill the void. Only it doesn't fill the void. And so then he says, well, if you do just a little bit more, if you do just a little bit more, until you get to the point where that last effort to fill the void, it's still going to leave you broken and empty, but he's not going to tell you that. God, wouldn't it be awesome if that's where we were as a people of God, instead of complacent and where we have reached in our faith, that God had birthed in us not an increasing appetite for ungodly things, but since he's redeemed us and has become the foundation of our life, that we have an increasing appetite to know him more, to become more like him, and to reach for the heavens as a trophy of his grace. Let that be what takes place in our life. First Peter chapter 4, it says that these people think it strange that you do not operate with the same mindset that they do, and as a result of that, they speak evil of you. By the way, I'll put this out there. If you have an issue with the things that I'm saying, let me give you our phone number at the church. It's 454-4263. 454-4263. If there's anything that I'm failing to communicate, that this is a universal problem, in the article that I have about the nature and the characteristics of natural sinkholes, it says they occur all over the world. Every man and every woman, apart from Jesus Christ, has this depraved nature, this totally depraved nature, that apart from him, we can do no good thing. And so if you think I'm pointing a finger at you and not pointing a finger at myself, then you and I, we could have a talk, and I do the best that I can to clear that up. One more verse here, and that's Colossians chapter 3, verse number 5. It says, therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these things. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. There's more there than what we're going to be able to talk about in the next minute. So let's just say God has a desire, and that is this. He wants to take these things out of our life. You know, if you were going to build a skyscraper, one of the first things is you would have to do is if you realize that there was a faulty foundation, is you would have to put something in. You would have to put something in that could take something out. Jesus wants to come into our life and displace the things that are faulty in my heart and your heart. Wouldn't you like Jesus to take some of the sources of your pain away? Wouldn't you like to take him out the defective areas of your life and replace it, displace it with that which is holy and pleasing in his sight? Jesus, I just cry out to you right now, Lord, I ask that if there's anything in my heart, that you would search my heart, search my mind, search the hearts and spirits of every person that is listening. And God, if there's any unclean thing there, would you take it out? We ask you by your Holy Spirit to remove anything that is damaging to us, displeasing to you. Remove it. Put your word there. Let us hide your word in our heart that we might not sin against you. And we will give you the glory and the praise. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."